know everybody's bees and buzzing like bees, but we gotta get started. After church, you can retain your buzzing. Just not enough time, is it, for socializing?
No, it don't seem like.
Well, maybe we should start church at 10:30 or 11 and have a half hour of socializing. Yes, that's a good idea. Or bagels and donuts. I mean, bagels and coffee. Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Isn't a beautiful day the Lord hath made?
Yes.
What do you say? Let us
rejoice and be glad.
Right, amen. Okay, any announcements? None? Just group, don't forget the school supply drive. You still have a good bit of time, but sometimes when we have a good bit of time, then we forget it. Just whatever, whenever you bring something in, just put it underneath of the mailboxes back there. And then we get it. Okay, if we have no other announcements, let's listen to the prelude. Let's get our hearts and minds ready for worship. Psalms 119, verses 2 through 3. Blessed are those who keep God's testimony, who seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, but walk in His ways. Now, when we are going to look at Him, number 378, please stand if you're able.
Take the name.
read the invocation and call the stewardship together, and then we'll pray. Invocation comes from Psalm 119, verses 105 and 108. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. Call to worship comes from 2 Kings, chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Father, we just come before you this morning and give thanks. Thanks to you for all that you have given us. We think of the week that we had and the trials maybe we had, but we came through them with the help of your hand. Father, now we just ask that you bless each one here. Give a special blessing to them. And may they receive just a refreshing spiritual experience this morning to get them through the week ahead. Father, now we also want to thank the givers that have given into the offering. We just ask that you would bless that gift and bless the giver who gave it freely. Mm-hmm. Father, we just also ask, help us to be good stewards, and you lead us into the way that you want us to use the monies that we receive. Father, we thank you for all that you are and all that you do, and we ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Okay, time for joys and concerns. Let's start with some joys. It's rainy outside, gloomy. Let's do some joys.
Yeah, yesterday was a good day. Got quite a lot of my great-granddaughter.
Our grandchildren joy. I will just give you this little tidbit of advice. Those of you that are sticklers about keeping your doors clean and your windows and your mirrors clean, just think, those little handprints that are on that window or door, they won't be little for very long.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So Ralph and I, we have a mirror in our living room, and next to the youngest granddaughter, one time she was there, and the couch was in front of us, so you could stand on, and she'd get up there and look in the mirror, and be all these handprints, and Pat Basker, he said, who made those handprints on that mirror? And she said, Doc, which is our dog, we said, how did he get up there? He did it. And you know what? I left those handprints there for a long time. Because every time I went in and I looked at those handprints, I thought, oh, my precious little girl. So don't be so quick to wash those handprints away. But don't be a Mary. Don't be a Martha cleaning all the time. Okay, another joy.
I don't know if anybody knew. Did you say anything about Frank? My cousin Frank.
You just started.
Oh my God. Cousin Frank was in the hospital in ICU. He has diabetes. There's a long story, but he was really in bad shape. But thank the Lord, he has recovered and is home.
I have a joy and a concern to go together. The concern was a family friend of ours, Teresa Covell, had surgery this week. And it turned out that she has cancer, but it's stage one. So that's a joy. It's treatable, and it's good. So, but please continue to keep Teresa in your prayers for healing as she recovers from her surgery.
I have a joy and a concern as well. Yesterday was actually literally my birthday, and
her birthday.
My family got together and did this huge celebration yesterday. And that's the joy. The concern is Carol's not here because of that. She was exhausted when she got up this morning. So
Wish you many more, brother.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Birthday?
Yeah. It's birthday Sunday?
Yes.
Oh.
No, next Sunday.
Let's say happy birthday. You got to.
You already sang happy birthday for me on birthday Sunday.
Oh, yeah. You got to realize this brain doesn't function as well as it used to. I hear all this noise in my one ear, so my brain's a little wacky. Let's sing it anyway.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Thank you.
Okay, any other concerns? Bradley?
Some traveling to do.
Right. And with two little ones, that's not always easy.
And a dog.
That's right. And he takes up 2.5, huh?
Debbie, continue. Our family and Debbie on prayer list, she had her kidney stones out, was supposed to. I don't know if they did or not, but she's still having some trouble. So
I can tell. I can see pain in her
and,
face.
I had some tests done, but they're still doing. They're still doing some. And Jake had a back surgery, and he's doing well. He's doing well, but he caught the sinus infection somewhere. Gave it to me, I think. But keep him in the prayers. Thank you.
Okay, Danny.
Keep the whole Peters family on the prayer list, of course, and Doris. Wilma. My neighbor Zach has been having more complications. He still has not returned to work with his leg, and so he still needs to be put on the prayer list. And then last night I found out from a good friend that, and we talked for about 2 hours almost, he is going through something incredibly unimaginable right now with his family. And I'm not going to get into it, but he really needs our prayers. His name is John, and it's Snow family. But he's struggling right now.
Debbie, I wanted to add one. A friend of ours, Edie, she used to come in at McDonald's and Country Kitchen, and she's got stage 4 cancer, I understand. Mm-hmm. She really needs our prayers.
Yes. Frank?
Continue to keep my wife in your prayers, and she's still having a lot of problems with memory and such. And but we thank the good Lord we still have her with me. And also, I have a request of prayers of everybody that. Because this week I'm going to be going to have my hip replaced, and I'm looking forward to getting it done to take away the pain. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I pray that the good Lord will bless me with
and
quick recovery.
And what day is it? So I always pray the night before. I pray for the doctors and the staff to have good rest. What day is your surgery?
The 2nd of July. That's Thursday.
Okay.
You're going in. And hopefully, if everything goes well, which I pray that it will, I should be home Friday. And pray for everybody else that's having physical issues and so forth, too.
Father Richard?
I've had a crazy busy week, 5 days that I've been, and
I couldn't hear.
I was gonna say, I just had a crazy busy week.
Oh.
Not busy, I've never been in my life.
And you made it through. And you made it through. Okay.
Praise God.
Very good. Along with this, my hearing's not as like it used to be. Don?
Judy, a couple of weeks ago, asked for her great-granddaughter, Nora. She's going to Children's Hospital. They're going to send her up there. They took her down to Johns Hopkins, and the mom, Ashley, I know, she was the one who took the vehicle from. She turned around and told me that they've decided to take her to Philadelphia to the Children's Hospital there instead, because she just doesn't feel comfortable with what Johns Hopkins had said. The lady that was in the newspaper, Mrs. Only, she is 112 years old. And last year I got to meet with her, and she's this very sharp lady still to this very day. Being 112, she still gets around. She doesn't live by herself because the kids won't let her. I worked with her son, Bob, who is not 89 years old. And so, you know, he said, I feel worse than my mom does. So we have prayers to be out there. And last night we had our alumni and our gym teachers, two of them, Mr. Ford, who will be 91 tomorrow, and Mrs. Trimmer. Mrs. Trimmer doesn't age at all. She lives in Woodsboro, and she'll be 90 this year, she said. So it was an honor to see them and many other friends that were there. And my granddaughter got a scholarship from the alumni last night from Bonnie Heflin. She was a school teacher. She was married to Alan Heflin, and she passed away 2 years ago with dementia. Mm-hmm. And so he gave that as a donation. So my granddaughter ended up with it.
Any others? Bradley?
Yeah, I got one more that last night Betty Ann fell, and she might have broken hip and not sure on the X-rays, but they took her to the hospital last night at about midnight. So we didn't have, you know, pain wise. Just hoping and praying it's just a bruise and not a break. So.
Come before the Lord. We've got quite a list here this morning, but it's nothing that He can't handle. Kind Heavenly Father, here we are. Once again, we come before You, Father, to give thanks and to give praise. We have joys that are about the same as our concerns this week, Father, so I guess that's a good step for us. Father, we just thank You for the joy of grandchildren. Oh, those precious little feet and hands are everywhere. And for our older grandchildren who may be in high school or starting college, Father, we just thank You for them. We just pray a hedge of protection around our children and our grandchildren, our families. Father, just keep them safe and keep them healthy. Father, it's a joy for Frank Nestor, Alice's cousin. He was in critical condition, and now he's home taking therapy and with his wife. What a miracle.
Father, we thank you for the joys of family visits, when we can get together with our children, our friends, our grandchildren. What an uplift. Mm. We also thank you for busy work weeks. Yes, we said thank you for busy work weeks. For at the end of the week, we see that you have brought us through, Father, and we just thank you for that. Absolutely. Father, we thank you for the 112-year-old. Amazing.
Yeah.
Just what she could tell us through those years, Father, and the stories. Oh, it would be wonderful to listen to. Mm. Father, we just thank you for the blessing her, and continue to bless her and bless her family. Father, we think of teachers. We pray for all teachers. Father, we pray that they would come to you for guidance and wisdom when they are teaching our children. Father, we think of the teachers of the past, like Mr. Ford and Mrs. Trimmer, 90 and 91. Father, what a testament. We just thank you for them. Thank you for being with them. We think of Donna's granddaughter. We just thank you for the blessing of her scholarship. We just ask that you guide her path. Father, we want to ask for you to keep our families in the midst. Those that maybe do not have salvation yet, they don't know what that is, Father. We just ask that you would give us the understanding and the courage to guide them. Father, it's not always easy. It's easier to talk to an acquaintance about salvation than your own family. And sometimes that's a little weird, Father, but I guess that's how we are. So, Father, we just pray that you would be with the families that are not saved and that you would make a way that they would be. We have concerns for Teresa, who had surgery, but yet you blessed her with a good outcome, and we just ask that you continue to keep your healing hand upon her. Be with Kayla and Kyle as they are traveling. Give them safety. We think of the Baker family, Deb and Darlene, and Jiggs with his surgery, and now a virus on top of it. We just ask that you touch him in a mighty way. Father, be with Travis, both Travises. They need you in different ways, and we know that you can help them. And Father, we just ask that you keep your hand upon them. We think of the Peters family, and Doris, and Wilma, and neighbor Zach, and Danny's friend John. Each one needs you in a different way, Father. And we know that you can, it's not anything that you can handle. We just put it into your hands. Father, we think of Edie, who has served many a hamburger and a shake at McDonald's. We think of her, and we just ask that you be with her and her family, and just help them as she transitions, Father, and let it go smoothly. We think of little Nora, Father. You guide the doctors. Give them the wisdom to know what she needs, what treatment she needs. And Father, you be with her parents. Give them the strength that they need to cope with all of this. We think of little Betty Ann. I say little Betty Ann because she's like a little dwarf that stands up on the chair to serve the soup, to stir the soup. She's just an amazing woman at 91. Father, we just ask that it not be broken, that it just be a bruise so that she can come back home and be in the community, and she's just a beaming light, and we just thank you for her. Father, lastly, we just pray for our country. It's 250 years, Father, that you have been with us. And Father, along the line, somewhere, we left you out, and we need you back. We need the country and its people to understand that without you in ahead of us, we are nothing, and we will be nothing. So, Father, we just ask that you would bless this country once again, please. That you would bring peace and understanding to not only this country, but the whole world, Father. Father, now lastly, we just pray for Brother Bob. We know that he has meditated and he has studied, and we just ask that when he stands up this morning to give the message, that your words flow freely, and that you just give him and his dear wife, Carol, a blessing for all their efforts. Now may we unite our hearts and voices in that most perfect prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. With that, my part is done, and I'll turn it over to Bob. Oh, hymn. Forgot the hymn.
Let's turn hymn number 388. Please stand if you're able.
Frank has asked me if I would be willing to do time of prayer and anointing today. And maybe there are others here. I thought of my sister who might also want to be anointed today, and anybody else who wants to be anointed. What I'd like to do is read through the passage in James that talks about anointing. And then anyone here who wants to come up to be anointed will come up. So I'm reading from James chapter 5, and I'm beginning the reading with verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I would like also two of our deacons to come up and stand with me as we anoint and pray for these persons. Glad I have a big bottle. You're up here as deacons, but everybody else I'm going to anoint. Is that it?
I could be anointing too if you can.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. What I'm going to do is pray with you, and then come and make the sign of the cross on your forehead with this anointing oil. And then we'll just let God do his work in your life.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for these persons who have dared to come forward and place their lives securely in your hands. And Lord, I can think of no better place where I personally want to be. I want to be in the hands of Jesus. And thank you for these who have come forward to place their lives in your hands, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, for giving this ministry of prayer to us when we can reach out to you. And even though you may be a million trillion miles away, you can hear every word that we speak. Thank you that you love us so deeply, that you care for us, and you want only the best for us. And so, Father, I pray that you would be with us as we do this time of anointing. And I know that you're hearing our prayers and that you're going to respond to our needs. Father, this is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
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 I'm going to start on this end and go around, if that's okay.
Can you give him first because he can't stand?
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
Sorry.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Go ahead and have a seat.
Okay, yeah. You need to.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Brother, I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, Spirit. Can I anoint you too?
Yes,
sister, I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Brother, I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm running out of oil here. Sister, I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's have one more prayer together. Lord, what a blessing it is for me to be here with these precious brothers and sisters. And Lord, I feel within me the love that you have for them, Lord, and how you are for them and never against them. And I can say that for all of us. You are for us. You are never against us. You want to hold us in the palm of your hands and bless us. And so thank you for this anointing that you have done. And I pray your blessing on each of these persons and us as an entire congregation. Lord, anoint us as a church to do your will throughout this community and beyond. Lord, I pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming forward. Gee, should we pray for more sick people to come next week?
Come on.
Wonderful.
Thank
you. I have a confession to make. I was a little late getting here this morning because I started driving down here when God reminded me that we were going to have an anointing today, and I didn't bring my anointing oil with me. And so I turned around and I drove home, and I couldn't find my anointing oil. So Carol's in bed, sleeping, and I woke her up and I said, do you have some oil that I could use for anointing oil? And this is what she gave me. Skin envy. So I hope those of you who weren't anointed don't envy the people who were. Sorry, I just had to tell you that story. Okay, this is the second Sunday in a sermon series that focuses on Paul's letter to the church in Ephesians, in Ephesus. And the theme of this series, there are 9 messages in the series. This is number 2. And the theme is rooted in Christ. And this passage this morning that I'm going to read, and you're welcome to follow along, it's just so powerful in what it talks, in how it talks about how God wants us to be rooted in Christ. And so I'm going to pronounce, give extra pronunciation to when these verses are talking about Jesus. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power. And all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the omnipotence, everything. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, that's a reference to Jesus again, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, we've gone through just a few verses, and Jesus was mentioned. Did anybody count? 13 times, and we're not done yet. When's he going to get to talking to us? Well, verse 21. And you, who once were alienated and enemies, boy, that's not a very good word for us, is it? And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, and which I, Paul, became a minister. Verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. This is Paul writing. And fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body. That would be us, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which has been given to me for you. In fullness of the word of God. I tell you, when I was reading through this, I read the Bible through every year, and somehow this just never grabbed me like it grabbed me when I was working on this sermon. How it is, Paul is saying, look, church, you need to be rooted in Christ. It's important to have a nice building, and it's important to have a pastor, and it's important to have things that we do. But unless we are rooted in Christ, none of the things that we do carry much power, have much of an effect on us and on the community. And so I'm pleading with us, let us as a church become rooted in Christ. Now, I think one of the biggest problems with the church in America today is this, that we are not rooted in Christ. You know, you'll see some if you come to Sunday school, there's a wonderful church and a wonderful preacher that we look to every Sunday in Sunday school, but none of that matters if it's not rooted in Christ. And this isn't a new issue. This has been an issue from the very beginning. I want to read now from the book of Isaiah. Jesus, of course, wasn't born there, but he was raised in where? In Nazareth. That's right. And so after starting his ministry, he decided to go back to Nazareth and visit his friends. And when he went into the synagogue for service, one of the leaders handed him the scripture to read. And so he went through the book of Isaiah, and this is the scripture that he chose to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the enemies, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And after reading this scripture, one of my favorite, isn't that a wonderful scripture? After reading it, Jesus went and sat down, and the whole crowd there that day in synagogue looked to Jesus, waiting for what was next. And he said, today, that scripture is fulfilled. Now, people started to feel a little squeamish, because what is Jesus saying? Is he saying these things will be fulfilled today because I am the Messiah? They're wondering, Is that what he's really saying? I mean, he's a carpenter's son. He's a little boy who grew up with the rest of us, and he was just as bad as the rest of us. Is he claiming to be the servant of God, the Messiah? And they got pretty upset as they thought this through. And they decided they were going to kick him out of Nazareth. And they took him to the very edge of a cliff. And were going to push him over the cliff and literally kill him. And Jesus just walked through the crowd and nobody touched him. Even back then in the first century, there were those who struggled with the idea of Jesus being, of the church being rooted in Christ. Some years ago, I followed a writer, a young woman. Her name is Rachel Held Evans. And she wrote a lot about why young people are leaving the church. And I was pretty interested in that. Because years ago, I was the pastor of a very young church. In fact, our average age was about 22 in this church. And I can't tell you the number of marriages that I did for these people who came to Christ. Two of whom were my son and his girlfriend, who's now his wife and the mother of, it keeps changing, 7 children. And that was part of the mess yesterday, or the wonderful mess that we had yesterday. And so Rachel Held Evans is really concerned about young people leaving the church and wrote about that. And by the way, she passed away about 7 years ago at the age of, she was 37 years old, and it was really a tragic loss for the church. But I want to read an excerpt from something that she wrote about why young people are leaving the church. She was a member of the millennial group. She said, "What millennials really want from the church is not a change in style, but a change in substance. We want an end to the culture wars. We want to be known not for what we are against, but for what we believe." Where am I here? "We want churches that emphasize the kingdom of God rather than some political party. You can't hand us a latte and then go about business as usual, expecting us to stick around. We're not leaving the church because we don't find the cool factor there. We're leaving the church because we don't find Jesus there. Like every generation before ours and every generation after, deep down we long to know Jesus." And I've found that in my work. I've done a lot of, in Africa, I was a street preacher. Not because I wanted to be, but a group of our churches came together and said, "We want to do street ministry. Would you be willing to preach?" And they rented or somehow got a truck and put a band on it and put me there. And we drove all through southern Nigeria with this music blaring. And finally we got to the location and I preached there. And it was the first time I'd ever done anything like that. And the church too often is a place where we have nice buildings like this one, and we have wonderful programs, and in some cases, good preachers. But where's Jesus in the midst of this? We need to ask that question about ourselves. Are we rooted in Christ? Well, there are three simple things that we can do so that we personally are rooted in Christ. And the first thing is, we can follow him. Boy, isn't that a tough one? Jesus is coming down off the mountain where he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the first individuals he saw were who? Do anybody remember? Simon Peter and his brother
Andrew.
Thanks. Yeah. And he walks up to him and he says, well, what did he say? Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. And you know what they did? They followed him. Really tough, isn't it? And Jesus today is still calling us to follow him. During our first stint of service in Nigeria, after we had completed that service, we got in touch with my mom and said, hey, why don't you come over and meet us in Europe? And we'll spend a month just touring around in Europe. And we went to Amsterdam. We flew into Amsterdam, which is a wonderful city, a Dutch city in Europe. And the first day we were riding around, I saw this huge cathedral. And I went inside, and it said, Mozart played the organ here 200 years before that. And I thought, oh, man, I'm going to go to church there tomorrow morning. And so I got the whole family up, you know, we drove to this beautiful big cathedral, and the doors were locked. It wasn't a church anymore. It was a place where you would go to see pretty things. And unfortunately, there are too many churches like that today. People don't find Jesus there. You see a lot of pretty things. And I tell you, there are some churches. Whoa! Billions of dollars worth of building and all kinds of other things. But where's Jesus in that? Second thing that we can do is that we need to understand and follow what Jesus said when he said, I am the way and the truth. Does that, does this sound impossible? To actually believe that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth that we really need in our lives. Jesus is the life. Another story. Another trip. My dad was dead at this point, so I invited Mom to come to a lot of places where we went. We went to Israel. It was my first trip to Israel. And also one of my sisters and her daughter came with us. And my sister Ruth, my oldest sister, she wanted to get some kind of special cloth that you could only get by in Jerusalem. And I was looking around for this cloth, and in the midst of that, I couldn't find it. And this stranger walked up to me and said, sir, what are you looking for? And I explained to him this material that my sister wanted me to buy. He said, oh, I know exactly where that is. And so I started following him. Dum, da, dum, dum. And we kept going deeper and deeper and deeper into old Jerusalem. And I saw fewer and fewer and fewer people around. And God said, you need to get out of here. This guy was setting us up for robbery. And so I turned to my mom and my sister and her daughter and said, we're getting out of here now. And I made the emphasis that it was pretty important. They didn't know what in the world I was talking about, but they followed me. And this guy was so angry because we didn't go deep enough in where he could mug us and steal whatever we had. Jesus said, follow me. And friends, there are some times when we're tricked into following other truths, other things that we need, other people. Let's be careful. Let's make sure that we follow Jesus. And I think, I don't think that's asking too much, do you? To simply follow Jesus. To try to read our Bibles and get a sense of what he's really calling us to. And I've found that, for the most part, it's fun stuff. I want to tell you, I never had so much fun as a non-pastor as I've had as a pastor. It's just fun meeting with people whose lives are, who are struggling with life, and they just need a fresh word. They need some hope in their lives. And to be a person who's, one of the gifts that God has given me is the ability to love people. Old people, young people, black people, white people, all people. I think I said this to you a couple of weeks ago. I'm starting to fall in love with you guys. And that's just something that God has given me. And he loves us so much that he doesn't, just like my sons, I never asked them to do anything that was too difficult for them to do. Now, many times they thought I was asking too much, but it was never. I never gave them a burden that was too heavy for them to carry. And our God never gives any of us a burden that is too hard for us to carry. And then in the midst of carrying it, we think, wow, this is not only easy, but this is fun. The third thing that we need to do, Jesus said, you're salt. You're the salt of the earth. And there are people out there who need a little extra flavor in their lives. Have you ever, gone to a restaurant and gotten an expensive meal and took a bite of it and, what in the world? Where's the salt? And put some salt on it and finally the flavor comes out. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. You have a certain flavor that is able to touch the lives of others. And we just need to do more of that. And then he said, after that, and this is by the way in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, follow me. No, I'm back to another one. He said, you are the salt of the earth. And he said, also, what's the next that he said after that? You are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Now, where does the moon get its light? The sun! Give that man a contract. Yeah. And where do we get the light? The sun. Yeah. The sun gives us light to share with others. I want to close with a story about a man who became kind of a friend of mine, at least I called him a friend, who when we, I was invited to help plant this church, and I heard about Steve Shogren. He's from a family from Norway, and that's where the name Shogren came from. And he started a church in Cincinnati, Ohio, and they were just doing great things, just growing by leaps and bounds. And it was legit. I mean, I'm not always impressed with the church that's really growing unless they're growing because God is at work there and the Holy Spirit is bringing people to Christ. And there are some really big churches around that have thousands of people that you couldn't pay me to go to, honestly. And Steve had a church in Cincinnati, Ohio that was just doing wonderful things. And he developed a ministry that he called a servant evangelism. Now, as a Church of the Brethren guy, boy, that really rang in my ear. Serving others. Servant evangelism. And so I invited a friend of mine, and we drove out to Cincinnati to meet with him to say, hey, what is it about this servant evangelism stuff? And he sat down with us, and it was the first of about at least five times that we went out to Cincinnati and met with Steve and talked with him about some of the issues that we were having. And he was enormously helpful, and we were able to plant the church that really grew. And as I said earlier, had young people. The average age was about 22, 23 years old. And so what we did as to reach out into the community where God had placed us was servant evangelism. Let me see my phone. Here's some a small list, if I can find it, of some of the things you do as in servant evangelism. Serve coffee on a cold day. Pass out bottles of water, cold water on a hot day. Have free car washes. Go to gas stations and wash windows as people are coming in to do their gas, gas, fill up with gas. Umbrella escorts on rainy days at the grocery store. Lawn and yard care, going particularly to elderly people who can't get out there and push that mower anymore, and going and cutting grass. Laundromat, passing out quarters at laundromats so people don't have to reach into their own pockets to pay for. And changing the oil for single moms, you know. And that's a very small list of that. That's at least 300 things that Steve taught us to do at his church, and we did probably 25 of those things. I shared that story a couple of weeks ago about the guy who baked all his pies, and then the person who wanted them didn't take them, and so we bought the pies from him and passed them out throughout the community. I tell you, that stuff is really, really fun to do. I want to share one of the stories that Steve shares in a book that he wrote entitled Conspiracy of Kindness. And I think that's what we need to be about as the church. This conspiracy of kindness. In his book, and by the way, I cheated and added this to the what?
Banner?
The bulletin.
No, that's
the newsletter.
The newsletter. Couldn't think of that. So you can read this story again. It's a wonderful story about a man and his son who were playing pitch and catch out in the backyard. And his son, who was 8 years old, said, "Dad, is there a God?" And his dad, his name was Joe. Joe thought about it and thought, what can he make up to say to his son? And finally, he settled on just being truthful. He said, "I don't know. I only went to church a couple times when I was a kid, and I don't know anything about God." And at that word, Jared was the boy's name, 8 years old. He bolted away for the house. He said, "Dad, I'll be right back." He came back, and they had been to a circus a couple of days before that, and he had the balloon, the helium-filled balloon, and he brought a pen, and he brought a piece of thick paper, and Joe said, "Jared, what in the world are you doing?" And he said, "I want to send a letter to God." And so he wrote out this note: "God, if you are real, and if you're there, would you send people who know you to me and my dad. And as that balloon lifted this message up into the sky, Joe thought to himself, man, I hope God is watching. 2 days later, they went by one of Steve Shogren's church's car wash. And so Joe pulled in, and Steve was working there, and he said, well, how much is it? And Steve said, well, it doesn't cost anything. We're just trying to show God's love in a practical way. And Joe said, wait a minute. Are you guys Christians? And Joe said, yeah, we're Christians. And he said, are you the kind of Christians who believe in God? And he had to keep from laughing at this question. Yes, we're that kind of Christian, he said. And Joe said, you know, you've just had the strangest request. God has just had the strangest request for prayer that he's ever had. And that was the beginning of Joe and Jared's prayer life and their life as followers with Jesus. Now, we would have never found them in church because they weren't going to church like millions of people in America. But we can reach out to them and share the love of God with them in ways that are just absolutely fun. And yeah, maybe we'll need to get some of our grandkids to come and help us do the things that we can't do anymore. But they'll have so much fun. In fact, at Cornerstone, the church that I helped plant, we invited unbelievers to come with us as we reached out to people. And the amazing thing that happened was that they thought, oh, you can be a Christian and still laugh and still have fun. You know, as people who weren't part of the church, they thought, well, I know I should be a Christian, but gee, I'm having too much fun. And these guys came and we did, like I said, between 20 and 30 different outreaches, and they came and did the outreaches with us. And they had so much fun that they decided it would be fun to become a follower of Jesus. And so that's what happened. And so, folks, there are lots of people out there who aren't coming to church because they haven't found Jesus there. My prayer for this church is that we would be so rooted in Christ that people would be drawn here in order to meet the Jesus who they've been looking for all of their lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for the patience of this congregation as we've gone over a couple of minutes. Thank you for the joy of knowing you and serving you. Show us how we can share that joy with our friends and our neighbors and even those that we know are sinners. Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen. Hey, we're going to sing a song that I was surprised to know that we have it on our, yeah. And it's one that I sent our sister an email and I said, hey, I'd like to do this song. If you don't have room for it in the bulletin, I'll make copies of it. She said, well, we have this in our. Yeah, so go ahead and put it up there. And she said, also, you know it. So let's stand together. Several weeks. I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God.
Amen.
I believe he came for us to save us, to heal us, to be with us, to be patient with us. And I believe that we carry him with us wherever we go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you're dismissed.
I'll see you later, Kaylee.
All right, see you guys.
Yeah, I'll see you guys.
Thank you.